The Hajj is the process of nurturing. It is the process of training. It is the process of fostering ourselves. So when we are performing Hajj, we meet different people. We meet different people from different races. They're from different nations, from different countries. They speak different languages. And in the Hajj ceremony, when we all are together, when we all together bow to one God, we do sajda or prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all walk to one place. We all are performing the same actions or the rituals. It shows the fraternity or the brotherhood amongst the Muslims. And this is the concept of Islam, that in Islam it is said that every Muslim is the brother of other Muslim. We need to take care of each other. You know that in the Hajj it is said to not to harm anyone. Even we cannot hunt during the Hajj. We cannot kill mosquitoes or, you know, these kinds of insects. And there are consequences, there are fines, obviously, which are set in the Hajj, that if someone do hunting or if he kills even a small insect, he has to pay a fine for that. And that is because we need to know where we are. All the creatures that are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to show patience towards them. Ya Rabbana, salli ala. Everyone has its own role in this world. Everyone has its own place in this world. We need to respect each other. Especially when we talk about the human beings, there are different races, there are different people. And we can see in today's world, we have seen so many justice seekers who are seeking justice. Why? Because they are not respected. Special cases have been seen, for example, special races are not respected in this world, whereas Islam talks about brotherhood, where Islam talks about training yourself, where Islam talks about the respect of each other. And that's what we can see in the Hajj. In the time of Hajj, when we see people from different areas of the world gathering at one place, worshipping one God, praying together, standing next to each other, eating in the same plate. So it shows that there is a brotherhood, there is a respect of each other. And this respect comes from the ritual of Hajj, which was obliged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the philosophies of performing Hajj.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
In the limelight.
Russian and Chinese officials say the West is trying to drive a wedge between Moscow and Beijing by portraying their friendly relations in a bad light. They say the West has become increasingly wary of the developing relations between Beijing and Moscow since early 2022. When Russian President Vladimir Putin and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping struck a no-limits partnership. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website of India Times has covered this story and tells us more. Russia and China have expressed strong dissatisfaction with the final statement issued at the end of the Group of Seven summit in the Japanese city of Hiroshima, a city that was destroyed by the U.S. atomic bombing in 1945. In a joint statement on Friday, 19th of May, which was revised on Saturday, 20th of May, the G7, consisting of United States, Japan, Germany, Britain, France, Canada, and Italy, targeted both Russia and China with threats and disparaging remarks. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said on Saturday that decisions taken at the G7 summit were aimed at the double containment of Russia and China. Sergei Lavrov, in a televised conference, reiterated Moscow's viewpoint that the West is using Ukraine as a tool to inflict a strategic defeat on Russia. Lavrov noted the task was set loudly and openly to defeat Russia on the battlefield, but not to stop there, but to eliminate it as a geopolitical competitor. Russia's top diplomat stated further, "Look at the decisions that are being discussed and adopted today in Hiroshima at the G7 summit of the seven industrialized countries and which are aimed at double containment of Russia and China." Sergei Lavrov said Moscow enjoyed the support of its many allies and Russia will weather the hardships despite the West's efforts to put pressure on countries to cut trade and economic ties with the Russian nation. The website of Malay Mail has also covered the same story. Beijing, in a similar approach, showed its strong disapproval of the G7 for smearing and attacking the Chinese nation. The Chinese Foreign Ministry said on Saturday, 20th of May, that it has lodged stern representations to the G7 summit's host, Japan, and other relevant parties after the group criticized Chinese policies with regards to Hong Kong, Xinjiang, and Tibet. The statement said the group's advocates promoting a peaceful, stable and prosperous world, but what it does is hinder international peace, undermine regional stability and curb other countries' development, adding that it simply shows how little international credibility means to the G7. The Chinese Foreign Ministry's statement pointed out that Taiwan is China's Taiwan and resolving the question is a matter for the Chinese. It reiterated that the One China principle is the solid anchor for peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait. According to the statement, despite emphasizing on cross-strait peace, the G7 said nothing about the need to oppose Taiwan's independence, which in effect constitutes connivance and support for Taiwan independence forces, and will only result in a serious impact on cross-strait peace and stability. The Chinese statement said no one should underestimate the determination, resolve and capability of the Chinese people in safeguarding China's sovereignty and territorial integrity. The statement noted the issue relating to Hong Kong, Xinjiang and Tibet are purely China's internal affair and China firmly opposes interference by any other external force in those internal affairs of the country under the guise of human rights. It urged the G7 to stop pointing fingers at China on Hong Kong, Xinjiang and Tibet and take a hard look at their own history and human rights record. The statement reminded the G7 nations that East China Sea and the South China Sea have remained overall stable and it called for other countries to respect the regional countries' efforts to uphold peace and stability and stop using maritime issues to drive a wedge between regional countries and incite bloc confrontation. The statement also noted that the massive unilateral sanctions imposed by the United States and acts of decoupling and disrupting industrial and supply chains make the U.S. the real coercer that politicizes and weaponizes economic and trade relations. It urged the G7 nations not to become an accomplice in America's economic coercion. The British newspaper The Independent has also covered the same story and tells us more. Russian President Vladimir Putin has said the US-led West is trying to drive a wedge between different ethnic and national groups in Russia and break the country up into dozens of different states. Speaking on Friday, 19th of May, via a video link at a meeting of Russia's Council of Inter-Ethnic Relations, Vladimir Putin said, "They say Russia should be divided up into tens of different states." He added that the more sanctions the West hits Russia with, the greater the level of cohesion within Russian society. President Putin noted that the opponents of the Russian nation will continue to try to rock the country from within by using agents and marginal persons. He said, "Our eternal geopolitical rivals and adversaries are using their agents inside the country, as well as a partially withdrawn abroad network of agents and various kinds of marginal persons to try and keep trying to rock our country from within." He stated, "But we must remember that they, the agents of Russia's opponents, exist and will continue to be used for their purposes by those who want to influence us. They will be used in their fight against Russia." President Putin noted, "And the struggle will continue, no doubt. Our geopolitical opponents have been doing it for centuries. They're doing it now, and they will certainly do it in the future." President Putin added, "As they say in such cases, no fantasy. They are going to improve this tool, and we have to keep this in mind." U.S. Treasury Department Secretary Janet Yellen said in a statement accompanying a raft of new U.S. measures, Janet Yellen said, "Today's actions will further tighten the vise on Russia and will advance our global efforts to cut off Russian attempts to evade sanctions." In a similar move, G7 leaders said in a statement that the restrictions imposed on Russia would cover exports of industrial machinery, tools and technology used to the Russian campaign in Ukraine, while efforts will be pursued to limit Russian revenues from trade in metals and diamond. The final G7 leaders' communique claimed that, with regards to China, which the G7 is trying to portray as a threat to global economic security, the groups need to take measures to reduce excessive dependencies in critical supply chain and counter malign practices in technology transfer and data disclosure. The G7 statement called on the Chinese leadership to persuade the Kremlin's leaders to cease Russia's special operation in Ukraine. However, it also stated the leaders of the G7 were in agreement that China's status as the world's second largest economy necessitated efforts to foster their continuous cooperation with the industrial powerhouse. It claimed, "Our policy approaches are not designed to harm China. We do not seek to thwart China's economic progress and development," adding that the G7 group wanted stable and constructive relations with China. Meanwhile, a raft of previous Western sanctions imposed against Russia has proven to be ineffective. Kiev has called on its Western allies to go further to isolate Russia, for example, by tightening loopholes in the financial sector that allow Moscow to circumvent the sanctions.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz,
And in southern Africa, via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intel Sat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, effects of satisfaction and submission to God. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the effects of satisfaction and submission to God in the Islamic lifestyle. When we look at the Islamic texts, we see that those who were satisfied and those who submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are having more physical peace than the others. They have a physical peace. Obviously, we talk about the spiritual peace, and we said that how to gain the spiritual peace. But on the other hand, there is another aspect, and that is the physical peace, the physical peace that we need to have. And why is it so? It is because that the person who is satisfied and who shows his satisfaction and submission to God, he is in a situation where he has the mental peace. He is spiritually peaceful. And once he is spiritually peaceful, his body is also feeling peace, relaxed. He has a relaxed body. And it helps him to perform more good deeds. It helps him to perform what he wants, to follow the things, to do the things in a more relaxed situation than those who are in hassle or those who are in a confusion or those who do not have the mental peace due to the environment, due to the atmosphere, due to the situations that are going around them, due to what Allah has given them, and they are unhappy because of that. And this causes them to become sick by thinking a lot about these things, by spending more time in being frustrated from the life. So we need to get this physical peace through submission to God, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the effects of satisfaction and submission to God in the Islamic lifestyle. And we said that one of the effects is that through this satisfaction and submission to God, we can reach to the physical peace as we have reached to the spiritual peace. This physical peace is so important that it keeps us peaceful, it keeps us safe from being sick, from being in the state of confusion, in the state
where we have depression. So this physical peace is so important, and it cannot be gained unless until we are satisfied and we submit to God. And therefore, we see that Imam Ali alayhi salam also has said, "Man radiya min Allah bima qassama lahu istaraha badanahu," that the one who is pleased from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has made for him, which for what He has given to him, his body is in a state of peace, in the state of relaxation. And this is important. Why? Because in today's world, we see that for what we have, we are unhappy of that. If we are happy of what we have, and we strive for not too much, but something which we can gain, we can work. Obviously, there are situations, different situations. But when we are in the state of mental peace, the spiritual peace, it is easier for us to see the different ways of earning more. It is easier for us to calculate things, to basically go towards the other works that we want. But if we are not having this mental peace or the spiritual peace, we are in the state of confusion. And the submission to God, one of the advantages is that it provides the spiritual peace as well as the physical peace to the mankind. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Thousands have rallied in the besieged Gaza Strip to commemorate the martyrdom of several commanders of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement during the recent Israeli aggression on the coastal territory. The rally also honored those civilians who fell victim to the regime's onslaught earlier this month. The demonstrators vowed to maintain their resistance in the face of the regime's atrocities against Palestinians. In an address to the ralliers, one of the leaders of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement, Khalid al-Bach, remembered the group's commanders who were assassinated during the five-day Israeli onslaught. Bach said, "We want to tell the whole world that though the F-16 airstrikes and the American 139 rockets were fired toward us, this nation is still alive and will continue the resistance." He said, "We attest our right to freedom. From their blood, we'll continue the resistance. From their death, we receive the power to face the Zionists. We will continue." Meanwhile, a similar event was held in the Syrian capital Damascus, where Islamic Jihad Secretary General addressed ralliers. Ziad al-Nakhala hailed the Palestinians' victory against Israel during the regime's recent aggression against Gaza. He said the regime was forced to accept Palestinians' terms for a ceasefire in the face of hundreds of rockets fired into the occupied territories. Nakhala added that Palestinians dealt another hefty blow to Israel's already tarnished image. The official attributed the Palestinian victory to their unity and sacrifices. Nakhala vowed a strong and painful response to any future Israeli assassination of the group's commanders. The recent Israeli aggression on Gaza started on May 9th with the regime launching a devastating campaign of deadly bombings targeting senior commanders of the Islamic Jihad and their families. The Islamic Jihad, in response, fired barrages of rockets toward the occupied territories. The conflict marked the worst episode of fighting between Gaza's resistance factions and the Israeli regime since the 10-day war imposed by Tel Aviv on Gaza in 2021. After 5 days, the two sides agreed to an Egyptian-brokered ceasefire that took effect on May the 13th. But flashing back to some of Israeli-Palestinian conflicts since 2000, one would find that the Palestinian resistance has been gaining momentum ever since. Testimony to that claim is that according to figures, from September 2000 to December 2006, over 1,000 rockets were fired into the occupied territories. The rockets were all fired in response to the killing of 80 Palestinians by the Israeli regime. In 2008, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas carried out rocket-fired and mortar attacks against targets across the occupied territories, hitting previously untargeted cities such as Beersheba and Ashdod. That also in response to the killing of plus 1,000 Palestinians. In 2014, the Israeli regime carried out its deadliest aggression on Gaza, killing more than 2,000 Palestinians, including 1,400 civilians according to UN figures. That onslaught also prompted one of the deadliest Palestinian retaliations against Israel, with more than 70 Israelis being killed. All those powerful retaliations bring to the spotlight the power and strength the Palestinian resistance has attained during the past 2 decades or so, with Israeli officials admitting that the Islamic Jihad fired 1,000 rockets toward the occupied territories during the recent Israeli-Gaza aggression. It goes without saying that the Palestinian resistance has indeed gained momentum. Maybe that's why resistance movements like Islamic Jihad has come to the understanding that resistance, in fact, is a national duty which is based on the legitimate right of Palestinians to fight against the Israeli regime, something that has proven to be the only successful deterrent against Israeli aggressions.
The Syrian President Bashar al-Assad at the Arab League summit, his one-time enemy Saudi Arabia's Mohammed bin Salman, seen here greeting him. A symbolic moment, sealing Assad's reintegration into the Arab fold after being suspended from the League and isolated by most of the region for over a decade. A man who wanted him dethroned, who supported terrorist groups with the sole aim of toppling him. But now, that is wonder under the bridge. Assad lining up for the League's family photograph. Every handshake, confirmation of his reintegration. One after the other, Arab leaders welcoming Syria's reintegration, and during his own address, Assad repeatedly said that Syria belonged to the Arab world. There have been words of condemnation against Saudi Arabia and the Arab League normalizing ties, rhetoric from the losing end of the so-called Syrian opposition, something that should be shelved in the archives. But there is a new reality taking shape in West Asia. The Arab League Secretary General made sure to relay that message. Saudi Arabia is now a firm believer that security cannot be bought and that countries in this region can establish their own security. The Saudi Foreign Minister, Prince Faisal bin Farham, called for cooperation between Arab countries to achieve security, stability, and economic prosperity. West Asian security, however, does not serve the interests of the U.S. All of these reconciliations with Syria is shunned and rejected by the U.S. The decision to readmit Syria to the Arab League represents a rejection of U.S. interests. The Arab rush to welcome Damascus back into the fold has happened despite public objections from the U.S. U.S. efforts at easing Mr. Assad out and replacing him with an inclusive, democratic government have gone nowhere, leaving American officials on the sidelines. That is one view. However, additionally, U.S. lawmakers are proposing a bill that would prohibit Washington from either recognizing or normalizing relations with any Syrian government led by Assad. The legislation is also a warning to Turkey and Arab countries that if they engage with Assad's government, they could face severe consequences. But who's listening? Challenges do remain. Arab countries are keen to invest in Syria, especially in its reconstruction. But the U.S. legislation builds upon the CSAR Syria Civilian Protection Act, a 2019 law that authorized sanctions on those who do business with the Syrian government. Then there's the issue of Israel, who has continued bombing Syria. How will Arab countries deal with Israel when it comes to Syria? Israel is one of the sorest losers in this, since now there's a stronger united front in the form of an axis of resistance against Israel. On the one hand, the U.S., who is occupying Syrian soil and stealing and selling its oil, is an outsider, accompanied by the Israeli regime, which has no cards left to unify Arab countries against Iran. Nevertheless, China's view on the diminished U.S. role in the region, which closely mirrors Iran's stance, has said it best. Syria's Arab League reintegration, proof that when the U.S. shadow shrinks, peace spreads.
On September 9, 2001, a series of terror attacks targeted the United States. On that morning, a group of terrorists hijacked four commercial airliners. The hijackers crashed the first two planes into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York City. The third plane succeeded in crashing into the Pentagon, but the fourth one crashed in rural Pennsylvania. The U.S. regime used the incident to launch what it called the Global War on Terror.
They are obsessed with fueling conflict because they profit by the bloodshed, by the turmoil, by the tension, by the diplomatic unease. A lot of money is transferred into the bureaucracies of the military, the intelligence community, the diplomatic community, the military-industrial complex, the war profiteers who make bullets, bombs, tanks, helicopters, guns.
Washington first invaded Afghanistan and then attacked Iraq. A number of other countries were also affected by the wars.
Hundreds of thousands of civilians were killed, 7,000 by the U.S. in the first month of the war, but now hundreds of thousands of civilians were killed by all parties over the 20 years, and that's in part because Iraq descended into civil war shortly after the U.S. invasion. And then in addition, many millions of people were displaced. Millions of people are still displaced internally and also as refugees in the region.
The military aggressions were devastating for the affected countries and killed countless people. A new research by Brown University's Cost of War Project has now shed light on the human cost of U.S. wars in the region. The report says America's war on terror in war zones of Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, Syria, and Yemen killed at least 4.5 to 4.6 million people, though the precise mortality figure remains unknown. The study reviews a wide range of factors contributing to mortality. Those include economic collapse and the resulting loss of livelihood for local residents, the destruction of health infrastructure and public services, environmental contamination, as well as other cultural effects of war that can lead to further violence down the line. Some of these people were killed in the fighting, but far more, especially children, have been killed by the reverberating effects of war, such as spread of disease. The report says these latter indirect deaths are estimated to be around 3.7 million. It says these deaths and related health problems have resulted from the destruction of economies, public services, and the environment in the affected countries. The report has also highlighted the fact that indirect deaths grow in scale over time. The researchers found staggering levels of child malnutrition in some of the affected countries, with Afghanistan and Yemen topping the list. In the wake of Washington's two-decade military occupation, more than 3 million Afghan children are now experiencing wasting, a symptom of severe and potentially life-threatening malnutrition. The U.S. officially ended its war in Afghanistan, but today Afghans are suffering and dying from war-related causes at higher rates than ever. Afghanistan's economy has collapsed, and over half of the population now lives in extreme poverty on less than $1.90 per day. More than 7.6 million children under 5 are suffering from acute malnutrition or wasting in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and Somalia. Wasting means simply not getting enough food, literally wasting to skin and bones, putting these children at greater risk of death. Diseases such as measles and cholera often sicken malnourished people, particularly children, and at the same time worsen malnutrition.
And then what we also see is that even in the places where the fighting has stopped, civilians and other people, like healthcare workers, have been injured by unexploded ordnance, which has been left in the wake of the war. So the story continues. It's not over. It wasn't quick. It wasn't easy. And it certainly wasn't cost-free.
Hunger crises are precipitated by wars, destruction of economies, and the impoverishment of millions in the war zones. Poverty lessens people's abilities to grow and buy food, stay in their home communities, access clean water and sanitation, pay for healthcare and medicine, keep children away from hazardous jobs and other essential pathways to preserving health and life. Explosive remnants of war, including unexploded mines, render land inaccessible to farm and block the transport of goods. Generally, populations displaced by violence face some of the worst levels of food insecurity and malnutrition.
Iran and Russia have signed an agreement on the construction of the Rasht-Astara Railway, a strategic transport corridor that connects the existing railways of the two countries and Azerbaijan. The Iranian Transport Minister and his Russian counterpart, Vitaly Savelyev, put their signatures on the deal worth $1.6 billion during a ceremony in Tehran on Wednesday. Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi and his Russian counterpart oversaw the event in person and via video link. The 162-kilometer railway will connect the Iranian city of Rasht near the Caspian Sea to Astara on the border with Azerbaijan. Upon completion, the railway would serve as a shorter and cheaper transit pathway for Asia and Europe's businesses. The development would also turn Iran into the region's trade crossroads and bring along stable and profuse revenues for the Islamic Republic. Including the part that crosses Iran, the passage serves to link Europe to the Persian Gulf and the Indian Ocean's littoral states, as well as the southeastern Asian countries. Transporting goods through the pathway takes 21 days. The alternative maritime route that travels across Europe's western and then southern flank before heading into the Red Sea, however, takes 45 days to complete and features an additional 30% expense.
This is a very important agreement that allows us to move to a new stage in the development of cooperation in the transport field. This is the largest infrastructure project that concerns the construction of a 162-kilometer section of the railway between the Iranian city of Astara and the city of Rasht. This is the section that is enough to completely close the railway communication through the territory of Russia, Azerbaijan, Iran, from St. Petersburg to the Persian Gulf and to Bandar Abbas. As soon as this project is implemented, then accordingly we will have a route and the possibility of deliveries both in transit to Europe and deliveries from Russia to the Persian Gulf. This is a huge market.
Separately, Iran and Russia are expanding their cooperation in the banking sector. Russia's second largest bank, VTB, has opened a branch in Iran. VTB is the first ever Russian bank to offer services in the Islamic Republic. Last December, VTB launched a service allowing both individuals and businesses to transfer money to and from Iran. Iranian companies will now have the chance to make international bank transfers. Moreover, VTB Bank and its subsidiaries are extensively active in South American countries, empowering Iran to diversify its exchange routes with export target countries in that region. Earlier this year, Governor of the Central Bank of Iran, Mohammad Reza Farzin, said a direct link had been established between the central banks of Iran and Russia. Iran and Russia have signed scores of economic and energy deals as the two countries seek to replicate their successful security and military cooperation in efforts that could offset the impacts of Western sanctions on their economies. Russia's Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak led a high-ranking delegation to major events and ceremonies. Novak met Iranian Oil Minister Javad Oji and also visited a number of oil and gas equipment manufacturers and discussed prospects for working together in the fuel and energy sectors. He said the oil and gas industry is a backbone for the economies of our countries. Strengthening bilateral cooperation in this area will undoubtedly increase the economic sustainability of Russia and Iran.
We are developing 8 of our oil and gas fields with the strong Russian companies, and we have agreed with Mr. Novak for the development of 6 more fields.
The two sides also discussed cooperation in the field of electrical and nuclear energy, as well as renewable energy sources. Russia and Iran, both under Western sanctions, are forging closer ties in order to support their economies and to undermine Western sanctions, which they both cast as unjustified. Tehran and Moscow have embarked on deepening cooperation amid massive Western sanctions.
We are seeking specifically joint investments, facilitation of customs services and banking issues regarding the transfer of money between state banks and Mir Business Bank in Russia, which is of great help for Iranian businessmen.
Iran and Russia have signed major deals in recent months to boost economic, trade, energy and military cooperation. Russia is also delivering a complete squadron of Sukhoi Su-35 fighter jets to the Islamic Republic of Iran, development that will likely further rile up the West as Tehran and Moscow deepen their defense and economic cooperation in defiance of sweeping sanctions and coercive measures.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions in practical tajweed rules held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So I really, really welcome you all, and also our brothers here, Brother Ali Nasir and Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah and Fawad Haider. All right, without wasting the time, inshallah, we'll go on and continue to Surah Ali Imran. Ayah 118 will be our today's topic. So we'll talk about this ayah shortly. We'll mention some points. Then inshallah the tajweed rules and the recitation will practice. Alright? Let's listen everybody.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tattakhidhu bitanatan min dunikum la ya'lunakum khabala. ودوا ما عنتم قد بدت البغضاء من أفواههم وما تخفي صدورهم أكبر قد بينا لكم الآيات إن كنتم تعقلون.
Great recitation, alhamdulillah. So make sure brothers and sisters who are listening to IRIB English Radio right now, stay with us inshallah at the end of this session after we mentioned
the important tajweed rules, we'll practice the recitation as well. So stay with us till the end of this session. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Allah Almighty in Surah Ali Imran in Ayah 118 on page 65 says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have faith, la tattakhidhu bitanatan min dunikum. Do not take your confidence from others than yourselves. Do not take your best friends, close friends, or secret friends from others than yourselves. لا يألونكم خبالا ودوا ما عنتم. They will spare nothing to ruin you. They are eager to see you in distress, in problem, in trouble. قد بدت البغضاء من أفواههم. Hatred has already shown itself from their mouths, from their sayings. وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. And what their breasts, their chests, hide within it, yet worse. It is worse than what they say. قَدْ بَيَّنَّا لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ. We have certainly made the signs clear for you. We have told you everything about your enemies. So there is no excuse for you. إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Should you apply reason if you are reasoning. Right? Guys, in this ayah, Allah Almighty warns us of many important points. First, about the enemies and friends. Which type of people, which groups of people we have to take as friends, close friends, we should share our secrets with them, which type of people we should not. Remember, it's very clear. If we, God forbid, have enemies, that nowadays we have enemies. So, guys, in the early Islam, there were some Muslims, okay? Who were sharing like their secrets with Jewish people, right? So, and also, so Allah Almighty told them, revealed this ayah that do not take others' friends. If you have mu'min brothers, okay, your mu'min brothers should be your friends. Why? Because those Jews, okay, they were showing, for example, love, friendship to this kind of Muslims, okay, and in return, okay, what did they want in reality? They were asking for the plans of Muslims. That what is the Prophet going to do in the war? So Allah Almighty warns them, don't do this. Do not share your secrets with them. They will not be helpful. They will not care about you, okay? Okay? So, that's it. And also, Allah Almighty says, لا يألونكم خبالا, okay? They will not back down. They will not back down. Don't look at them. Apparently, they smile at you. Okay? There is something in their heart. Alright? So that's it. In kuntum ta'qilun, Allah Almighty says, if you apply reasoning, okay, you will understand these things. Right? So, that's it. Guys, refer to the tafsir books, okay? The explanations will be are given there, okay? Inshallah, you can learn more. And also, our scholars have talked about these kind of issues a lot, okay? May Allah Almighty protect us from all these kind of plots. All right? So yes. That's
it. رسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran. الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله
معلمنا رسول الله معلمنا. It's time for us to mention the important tajweed rules. Ali Nasir, Hussein and Hassan and Fawad. Ready inshallah?
Yes.
All right. Let's go. So, in Ayah 118, the first important rule that our brothers and sisters also have to remember as they are listening. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Ya, the mad is not wajib, but you can stretch it. يا أيها الذين آمنوا or you can skip it. يا أيها الذين آمنوا. If you skip it, okay, read the long vowel. Yeah, two counts, but then I don't read it. Okay, that's it. لذين ذل آمنوا همزة. لا تتخذوا بطانة. 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 بطانة means there. If you look at the dictionary, okay, search it in the dictionary. It says underwear. بطانة. Underwear. Okay. It comes from the word button. Button means your belly. Your belly. It tells you this, your underwears, for example. Your underwears are so close to you, yes? To your body. So it talks about this, like, do not take your enemies as your friends. Close friends, like your underwears. Okay, so close to you. Right?
Yes.
But explanation is this way, okay? That don't make them close friends to you, okay? Do not have a relationship like that. Remember, even if you have a relationship with them, okay? Remember, they have plots against you. So, بطانه. طا has a heavy sound. طا. بطانه. تم. تنوين plus ميم. ميم. Matches.
إدغام.
إدغام. يرملون letters. And the rule إدغام is applied. So, merge them. بطانه. ميم. ميم. دونيكم. مين نون ساكن بلس دال دال ماتشز إخفاء إخفاء is hiding the sound مين دونكم لا يألونكم خبالو right خبالا changes to خبالو am I right حسن خبالو تنوين بلس واو merge them إدغام
yes.
خبالو ولا sorry خبالو ودو ما عنتم قاد قاد right
قلقل
قل. Bounce the sound echoing sound قاد بدت البغضاء ضاد has a heavy sound بغضاء من بغضاء the mad is wajib right
yes
حمزة and ألف both are in the same
yes
من أفواههم no changes to the نون نون ساكن clear to read it حمزة is there من أفواههم وما تخفي صدورهم أكبر أكبر را has a heavy sound when you stop here حسن what does that jim say
it's just to stop or continue
it says it's just to stop or continue good job thank you so much قد قد again the إقلقلة yes بينا لكم الآيات صلاة tells you حسين
better to continue
better to continue good job إن
إخفاء
إخفاء كن
إخفاء
إخفاء hide the sound of نون إن كنتم تعقلون right so now we mentioned do you have any questions Any other tajweed rules here?
No, sir.
So let's practice the recitation. Brothers and sisters, now it's time to practice the recitation of this ayah. Stay with us, okay? Let's continue. I'll recite. Make sure, inshallah, you repeat after me. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا بطانة من دونكم
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا بطانة من دونكم
لا تتخذوا بطانة من دونكم لا يألونكم خبالا ودوا ما عنتم
لا تتخذوا بطانة من دونكم لا يألونكم خبالا ودوا ما عنتم قد بدت البغضاء من أفواههم وما تخفي صدورهم أكبر قد بدت البغضاء من أفواههم وما تخفي صدورهم أكبر قد بينا لكم الآيات قد بينا لكم الآيات
نون مشدد if you see there okay نون مشدد قد بينا لكم الآيات
قد بينا لكم الآيات
Good job. ما شاء الله إن كنتم تعقلون
إن كنتم تعقلون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم ما شاء الله الله bless you إن شاء الله That's it from us for today Brothers and sisters Thank you so much for being with us And listening to IRB English Radio إن شاء الله in the coming sessions We'll continue and with the rest of the verses of Surah Ali Imran Stay with IRB English Radio Thanks to Fawad Hassan Hussein Ali Nasser for being with us As Fawad is pointing at me to give him a thanks I already give you a thanks, okay, Fawad? Thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio.